So, for those of you that haven't been here a little while, or those of you that it's your first time here, I had kind of a long last week. I was in North Dakota doing military training, and then I received word that my grandmother had passed away. And I actually did the worship service last weekend and then drove back to Minnesota pretty much in the exact same direction that I had been on for like 10 hours before. So it was rough. And this past weekend, I was at my parents' house in southeastern Minnesota for Grandma Mary's funeral. And you know, she was 98 years old. She had a full life, long life. After the funeral, I had a conversation with one of my oldest brothers about growing up under this stark household. And we were sitting around, and, you know, sipping on some wine, eating some junk food that mom and dad, now who are almost in their 70s, had provided for their boys, 46 and 34 years old. And we were talking about eating this kind of junky stuff and kind of looked down at ourselves and thought, man, we got some dad bods going on here. This is not good. We got to hit the gym. We started talking about exercise and how our dad always seemed to kind of plateau and has been at the same weight probably most of our lives. It seemed like, you know, he's kind of invulnerable to putting on any weight. And that's when we recalled something that Dad always used to say, and he'd say it in jest. He always would say, whenever you'd be at the fridge, kind of overindulging in something, or if you would ever be, like, overindulging in really anything, he would say, man cannot live on fill in the blank alone. Man cannot live on leftover pizza alone. Man cannot live on ice cream sandwiches alone. Man cannot live on PlayStation alone. Man cannot live on the internet alone, or TV alone, or XYZ alone. You know, and it really didn't dawn on me, because I heard that phrase so much growing up, that my dad was actually quoting a Bible verse, and he's quoting a verse from the scripture today. When Jesus says, one cannot live on bread alone. One cannot live on bread alone. And there's something about that turn of phrase that my dad adopted that I think is really important, that can speak to a lot of different avenues in our lives. I'm going to share a little bit about that with you this morning. Because I think this idea of consuming food or consuming stuff, we consume stuff. We absorb stuff from the world around us. There's something about being fed, satisfying that immediate need, and something about really getting at the heart of sustaining yourself, of being nourished in mind and body and spirit. And I think that's what Jesus talks about today, and I think we can all benefit from the word that Dean brought to us in our gospel lesson, and the word that God provides us with today. So I want to share a message with you. Food. We all need it to survive. I know it. You know it. Jesus know it. But there is a difference between having that basic hunger met and being sustained. Yeah? In our gospel lesson from John last week, we heard how Jesus traveled across the Sea of Galilee to the Sea of Tiberias. And once he was on the shore, people came out of the woodwork to meet him there. The town where I grew up had like 2,000 people in it. That was the neighboring town, the big town. My town had 400, the neighboring town had 2,000, but that's where we went for church, that's where we went for school, all that stuff. And that seemed huge back in the day. Whenever there was a church picnic or something, everybody in the community, no matter what church you were at, they came to the church picnic. They were hungry, they had empty bellies, and they were impatient. Yeah? And in this gospel lesson that we heard last week, we hear that there's 5,000 people, over double the amount in Wabasha, Minnesota, show up for the church picnic with Jesus, so to speak. There were long lines, there were empty bellies, they were hungry, they were impatient, and Jesus sits them down on fresh green grass Now, we heard in the scripture last week that Jesus and the disciples, they had limited provisions. In fact, they didn't have any. There was a boy that happened to be there gathered at this event that had a couple loaves of bread and a couple fish. And we hear the disciples complain, there's not enough. In fact, we can't make enough money in a year to feed all these people, so how are you going to do it? Jesus, just ain't going to add up. But somehow, some way, we don't know the physics of the miracle. We don't know exactly what happened, but we just hear that there's enough food for everybody and some. There is extra. And in some cultures, it's like a sin for there to be any leftovers. So everybody had a full belly. They were stuffed. We fast forward to our story that we heard from today. We hear that Jesus goes to Capernaum after feeding all those people. And there are some tag-along folks. They come for like more leftovers. And they bump into him and they say, oh, hey, teacher, when did you get here? Oh, how did, you know, I didn't know you were going to be here, you know. And he sees through those motives and says, you didn't have a sign. You didn't see a sign that pointed you here. You came here because you're hungry. You're looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves and you want more to eat. Do not work for the food that perishes, he says. Work for the food that endures for eternal life. Eternal life. Now, a couple years ago, when I was doing military training, reservist, if y'all are new here. I opened up what is affectionately known as an MRE. This is a meal ready to eat. Ah, it's delicious. This one is beef patty, jalapeno pepper jack, menu number 19. It's got the nice little seal on it. Keep these for camping. But I remember opening one up, and this is kind of what they look like on the inside. You got the pouch itself. That green thing is something that warms things up. The big, huge-looking cardboard thing right there, that's like the main meal in itself. You have various sauces, you know, in there. There's like cheese spread. There's usually a little jalapeno sauce. There's a bunch of stuff. And then the nutritional value, when you parse it all out, it's like 5,000 calories or something like that for one meal. Yeah, you don't want to eat more than one of these, like, probably in your lifetime, so... But I always ate them anyway. So, anyways, they're vacuum-sealed rations. Sometimes they look decent. Sometimes they have little snacks in them, dried fruits, nuts. And if you are lucky, the Holy Grail. It's like when you find M&Ms or candy in them. And I've shared this story before, but I opened up one, and this was back in 2012, mind you, when I was at basic training. And mine had an incredible treat inside. It had M&Ms. And they had a special label on them. The M&Ms commemorated the Atlanta Olympics. And this is 2012. The Atlanta Olympics happened in 1996. Those M&Ms were 16 years old, and yes, I ate them, and they were delicious. What am I telling you this for? Well, contrary to popular belief among military personnel, MREs are not the food that endures for eternal life. There's something else. You know, there's something else. They may last for an eternity and through nuclear storms and whatnot, but something else is. Jesus knows this, and he knows that people are seeking him out because they're still hungry. And how they can actually be sustained is through a different kind of bread. By the food that he offers, that's the food that endures for eternal life. Him and the life that he offers, the way that he offers, is the way to eternal sustenance. He explains to the crowd that's gathered that just like the manna, the food that fell from the heavens in the wilderness and provided the hungry Israelites with food and sustenance so long ago, he provides bread that nourishes and sustains. The hungry crowd doesn't quite get it. They want something to fill their bellies. And that's when Jesus says, you know, you can't live on bread alone. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. I am the bread. I will not leave you hungry. I will leave you with a deeper meaning, something that will fill that inner hunger that you will have long after your belly is empty. Long after your belly is empty. You know, there's been an awful lot in the news headlines lately about the media. Ooh, the media. I was told in school that unless something's a living, breathing ism, you probably shouldn't give it a title like the something, because it's really hard to tack down. It's slippery and broad, and there's been a lot on social media, a lot in the news about the media in general. You know, who or what is the media? It's a good question. Is it journalists or reporters? Is it a news station? Is it a newspaper, a news network, a commentator, a radio personality, a company that owns all of the above? I don't know. But there's not some singular entity walking around out there called the media. In fact, it's a broad thing. There's a spectrum of what media is. But I bet you, when I said the media, there are images that are conjured up in your mind of what the media is. And there are probably images of groups or news networks or newspapers or things that you turn to be fed on a daily basis. And there are probably things that you absolutely would never turn to on a daily basis. In fact, though you might demonize them kind of in your mind, like, this is good, this is bad, this is bad, this is good. That's called demonizing. But Jesus was an exorcist, so we'll dive into this. I think when it comes down to it, there's something in the words of Jesus for today about bread that might help each of us when it comes to things like we hear about in the media. No matter where we tread, politically or socially or whatever, it might help us to be better Americans, better neighbors, better human beings in a day and an age of polarization and demonization of the other. Food. We all need it to survive. I know it. You know it. Jesus knowed it. But there's a difference between having that basic need met and being sustained and nourished. Jesus knew there was a difference between that which feeds you versus that which nourishes you. Jesus uses the words, never go hungry or thirsty again, to describe what will happen to those that follow him, the bread of life. I think in this crazy world that we live in that God loves so much, we might be called to use the Bible to interpret the world around us. That's not just my job, but that's the job of all of us as Christians and faith seekers. When you hear about the media being called, you know, an enemy or something like that, and your favorite news network comes to mind and you get a dopamine rush from that, when it feels like people are on your side, or when you hear about the opposing group and you start to feel your stress level and your blood pressure go up and you start to just feel angry, we should remember those words of Jesus about the bread of life, because there's a difference about what feeds us and what nourishes us. Might I feel like I am fed and filled and less hungry when I visit my favorite news outlet or listen to it on the radio or listen to my favorite reporter or read my favorite newspaper? Might I feel more fed, like my hunger has been sated, when I listen to the ones that sound like me, the ones that sound like Dan Stark, the ones that agree with everything I believe in, everything I hope for, everything I dream for, everything I wish for, the echo chambers of myself? Yeah, I probably feel, yeah, you know, it's just like eating an MRE. Filled me up for the day. Probably. But Jesus says that that stuff feeds you, but it's kind of like the bread of the world. There's a difference between having your hunger met and being sustained. There's a difference between having a feeling of acceptance, of belonging, of you are agreed with, than being well-rounded and listening to who you might consider to be the other, or maybe the E-word, an enemy of you and what you believe. You might feel full temporarily from listening to those echo chambers, but you'll still go hungry if you only eat that. It's kind of like filling up on carbs. If you just consume what you want to hear, does it sustain you? Does it nourish you? Does it challenge you? The voice that isn't in the echo chamber. The person that doesn't think like you. The coverage that's not favorable. The opinions and hopes and dreams and wishes of the side that you don't necessarily agree with. That stuff is the stuff that challenges us at our core. It's hard to listen to, but I think it can make us better people. And this goes for everybody. Maybe in our national conversation, instead of considering the other as an enemy, we might think about the other as bread in some way that nourishes us because it challenges us. And I say this because who was Jesus? He says, "I am the bread of life." He was a challenger to the world around him. He was the Son of God. When people thought that the emperor was God, he taught a radical message of inclusion. We hear about him dining with people that nobody would ever want to be seen with, about inviting people to church who people wouldn't want in there in a million years. He healed the unhealable. He cast demons out of outcasts. He fed people and taught people and loved people. He made company with untouchables. And in a way, he challenged and upended those social norms and religious norms and political norms of his time. He upset the status quo. He was a challenger. And why did he do this? He didn't just do it to lob a bomb and say, "What are you going to do about it?" I think he did it to show people what the kingdom of God looks like. That it's not of this world, but it is in the world. Jesus challenged this world that God loves so much as bread. The bread of life turned the world on its head. So I want to challenge you, no matter who you are, myself included, that perhaps those that challenge us by having dissenting voices or opinions or thoughts or ideas, maybe those folks might nourish us and sustain us if we just listen to them. It might help us be better neighbors to them, be better citizens, be better Christians. Food. We all need it to survive. I know it, you know it, Jesus knew it. But there's a difference between having that basic hunger met, not having an empty belly, and being sustained and nourished and challenged and stretched. And so we as Christians, I think it ought to do us some good. No matter who you are, no matter how much money you make or where you find yourself on the political spectrum or where you stand socially or what you hold near and dear in your hearts, it might do us all some good. Not just to be fed by those voices and ideas and people that sound like us. Because that's like red meat, you know. It's just easy. But maybe we ought to listen to the other. To be nourished by them and fed by them and challenged by them. Because Christ himself was a challenge. And Christ is a challenge. And Christ will challenge you. You choose the food of this earth or the food, the way, the life, and the light that will never leave you empty. Amen.